Chapter 14, reading in verse 16, Jesus is speaking. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. I'm reading out of the New King James translation. The Old King James, of course, says he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Hallelujah. I will pray the Father. He'll give you another helper, another comforter. I'm glad that the New King James translates it that way, as helper, because I'm fully convinced that that's the best one-word translation of the Greek word there. That's the word paraclete. The Amplified Bible, as you may know, amplifies this verse out to say another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. Well, if you boil all that down, what is the one word out of all of that that sums it all up? If he's counseling you, well, that helps you, doesn't it? If he's interceding for you, well, he's helping you. If he's your advocate, well, he's on your side, he's helping you. He's your strengthener, he's helping you. Stand by, he's helping you. So I think for our understanding, the word helper makes it the clearest. He said, I'll give you another helper. And this word in the Greek, it has the idea of one like myself. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you another helper like I'm your helper. Another helper with of the same kind that I am. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he is going to abide with you forever. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit. Some other translations of this I'd like to look at. Philip says someone else to stand by you. Knox says another to befriend you. This is not the general idea that most people, even most Christians, have about the Holy Spirit, is it? They're not thinking of, oh, the Holy Spirit is my friend. They're not thinking the Holy Spirit is here to befriend me, to help me. Are they? Have we? Most of the time, no. But that's what Jesus said. Well, I believe Jesus told the truth. Why don't we just believe what Jesus said? He said, I'll pray the Father. He'll give you another helper, another one to befriend you. Plain English just says another friend. And if you think about it, that's really a good translation, because what is a helper if he's not a friend? A friend. Praise God. I'll tell you, I'm not claiming that I've been a very good part of the relationship, but I'll tell you for sure, the Holy Spirit has been my friend. He has, I'll tell you this, he has always been faithful to me. He really has. And I couldn't stand here without his help, I guarantee you. I never could have. But he's always been faithful to me. Many times I haven't been there as good as he has about that matter. But he has always been there to help me. Hallelujah. Always, 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 always. Another helper. Another to befriend you. Another helper, another helper, another helper, a helper. Mankind needs some help, don't we? We might be full of pride and conceited and think, well, I can make it on my own and I've done this and I can do that. But I'll tell you, folks, there is a world out there that has a lot of booby traps in it. There's a lot of things out there that you don't know about. And you may think you know everything and understand everything, but there are a lot of things that you just haven't even been exposed to yet. You might think you've been, as they say, around the bucket several times, but there's a lot in life that you just haven't been exposed to. There are a lot of booby traps that the devil has set for people just like you out there. That's what it talks about in the 91st Psalm, about delivering you from the snare of the fowler. Well, that's a hidden trap, a hidden trap, something that's hidden. You're walking along and you don't realize that under the leaves there's a trap set until you get in it. And just as if you were going through the jungles of South America, how many of you would be glad if you had someone there to help you that knew the area? You had a guide, someone that was familiar with the place if you've never been there before. But if you were out in the wilderness in Alaska, out there just with hundreds of thousands of square miles just all around you on every side, and you'd never been there before, it would be to your advantage to have someone with you that was familiar with the place, right? That would be a great help, wouldn't it? A great help. Well, I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit is someone who is familiar with things. He's been around through a lot of human history, and he was the one that helped Jesus to make it through successfully through this life. He's the one that helped Jesus to overcome everything he was faced with. Because you see, Jesus, when he became a man, the second chapter of Philippians tells us that he emptied himself. He was God from all eternity. He didn't just come into existence when he was took on flesh and human body there and came in the manger in Bethlehem. That wasn't the beginning of Jesus. He had always existed. He was God, but he humbled himself, is the way the King James translated in Philippians 2. It's a Greek word, kenosis, and it means an emptying out. He emptied out himself of all his divine privileges. Hallelujah. He came down to our level. And he said, I'm just taking his testimony. He said, he didn't say, I'm someone great and that's why I'm doing these works. No, he said, the Father that's within me, he doeth the works. He said, I can do nothing except what I see the Father do. He was dependent on the Holy Spirit's leading and empowering in his earth walk. And he made a success of it. And there hasn't ever lived on this earth a person that was more attacked than Jesus of Nazareth. The devil set traps for him on every side. You think the devil's been after you? I mean, the devil was out to kill him just when he was a baby. The devil was out to trap him, trick him, sent religious leaders to him, asking him questions, trying to get him trapped. He faced a lot of things, but with the wisdom and the help of the Holy Spirit, he always gave the right answer, didn't he? And so his opposition that was obviously sent out by the devil planted the idea at least, his opposition finally just had to give up and say, well, boy, never man spake like this man. They just had to quit asking him questions because he had such wisdom. He had such a wonderful helper. And Jesus is saying, I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I'm not going to leave you all alone. I'm not going to leave you to face life all alone. I'm not going to just leave and forget about you. I'm going to send another helper just like me. You know him because he's with you. He's been with you and me through these years. But he's not going to just be with you. He's going to be in you. And he's going to abide with you forever. Abide means to live with, to settle down and dwell with. The Holy Spirit isn't and doesn't desire to be just a visitor. He's a permanent resident. A permanent resident. Praise God. Give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Now, if he's our helper, then he must help, or else he doesn't qualify to be called a helper. Would you like me to keep preaching these profound truths that are so deep? It's a simple thing, but we must force ourselves to focus on this fact that a helper has to be of help to us or they are not a helper. And that's what we must realize, that the Holy Spirit in truth actually is of help to you. He's not a hindrance. He's a help. And we must also remind ourselves that this is written in our language, written to us, written so we can understand it. So let's don't try to spiritualize off to some never-never land saying, well, what that means is God wants him to help do his own thing, and God wants the help, and so he's helping God, and it really helping us, although we don't feel like it's helping us. It's because we don't know anything, and it's really probably better for me that somebody cut my arm off. But I just don't think so, but I'm just so stupid I don't realize that it's going to be a help to me, and stuff like that. I'm not saying that you and I understand everything about God and about his ways, and we totally understand the whole Bible. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that God is not an idiot, and that this message that he gave to mankind was written in man's words, that we could know the mind, the will, the purpose of God. And if he says to help us, well, then it's to help us. Not just to help God out, it's to help us. Not just to try to pull off some sneaky thing that we don't think will help us, but in eternity it'll help us. Jesus is not talking about eternity when we get to heaven. He's talking about to those disciples that were in the nitty-gritty, dirty here and now. At that time it was the here and now when he said it. He's talking about their situation then. He'd been with them. He'd been helping them. He'd been paying their salaries, providing for them, hadn't he? Somebody had to have been. He'd been taking care of them. He'd been guiding them. He'd been telling them what to do. He'd been protecting them from getting in too many jams. I mean, sometimes they didn't perfectly pay attention and they got a little trouble, but he always helped them out, didn't he? He's not coming up to them and say, well, boys, we've had a nice 3 years here, and by and by, I'm going to meet you again. Things are going to be taken care of for you in heaven. That isn't a bit what he's talking about. He's talking about right then, and their lives then. And that's what it means to us today. The Holy Spirit is to be our helper here and now, in our lives now, helping us in whatever we face in life. And until you realize that, your relationship with God is not going to be what it should be. But when you realize that the God of all wisdom and all power wants to help you, he desires with all his heart to help you. And anything that you're doing in life, anything that's in accordance with the will of God, he wants to help you in it. Why do I limit it to anything that's in accordance with the will of God? Well, it wouldn't be helping you if he encouraged you in something that wasn't according to the will of God. That wouldn't be for your benefit. So what I'm saying is this. If you're a dressmaker, the Holy Spirit wants to help you be creative, come up with some new design, make more money, to figure out some way to do something quicker, or to cut out the pattern and save money because you're doing it a better way. You're more efficient. The Holy Spirit wants to help you with that. If you're working as a clerk somewhere, the Holy Spirit wants to help you. He wants to help you do a better job. If whatever you're involved in, the Holy Spirit knows more about it. If you're going to school, I'm telling you, who knows more about math? Who knows more about science than the Creator? He understands it all perfectly, doesn't he? He has to. He is interested in helping you right where you're at. Now, let's not limit it, of course, to just helping you make the sale, helping you cook a better supper, whatever it is. He's also interested in your spiritual development. But we mostly understand that. What we need to understand is that Jesus didn't say, I'll send you another helper that he may meet with you on Sunday mornings and help you to worship God. But that's the way that most Christians think. That's the way we live. Well, the Holy Spirit meets with us on Sunday and helps us to worship God. That's not the point at all. Jesus said he'll abide with you forever. He'll stay right with you all the time. And he's there to help you in whatever you're facing. Help you in your marriage. Who knows more about how to treat a husband and wife than the Creator? Who knows more how to raise children and deal with them as they should be dealt with than God? I'll tell you, God is amazing. But he has all the wisdom that you need, and it's available to you. My message today, here's the title, and it's an important title. It's called, Let the Holy Spirit Help You by Prayer. I'll say it again. Let the Holy Spirit help you by prayer. Not in prayer, but by prayer. We all know that the Holy Spirit can help us in prayer. But what I want you to see is that the Holy Spirit can help you by prayer. Let the Holy Spirit help you by prayer. Now, we've heard messages, and we should hear more about the importance of prayer, how that it's just so important, how that I'm going to just review a few scriptures quickly. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1 says men ought to pray. Colossians 4:2 says we're to continue in prayer. 1 Timothy 2:8, men should pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Romans 12:2 talks about continuing steadfastly in prayer. 2 Corinthians 1:11 says that you helping together by prayer for us, we can, every one of us can help ministers, whether it's Billy Graham or Roberts or Missionary Jones in Timbuktu. We can help them by prayer. That's what 2 Corinthians 1:11 plainly says, helping together by prayer. And how many of you have ever heard a message along the lines of, you ought to pray, it's a good thing, you ought to do it, and you can help by praying? How many of you ever heard a message, something about that? Where have the rest of you been all your life? Most of us have heard something like that. And that's good. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands this time, but how many of you applied it as fully and as diligently and as regularly and kept on with it as you probably felt like you should when you heard that message? You don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass all of you. But you probably didn't. You've probably fallen short of what you meant to or thought you should or thought you would, at least some of the time. Even the most dedicated of us have fallen short at times. One reason I think that happens, and one way I think that we can help change this, is because we live with ourselves and our situation every day, and we don't live with Missionary Jones and Timbuktu every day, and so we sometimes can forget because it's not right in front of our vision about the situation there and the need there. And we've got so many squeaky wheels that are crying out for grease in our own life that it's so easy just to get focused in on that. And it's not that we forget about the other, but it's just that it's such a deafening roar with all the squeaking in our own lives. You know, our wife squeaking, our children squeaking, our bank account squeaking, the door squeaking. What I mean by squeaking is crying out for attention. You know, there's this, and all these things. Well, if we can recognize that when we pray that it's helping us, then we're going to, I believe, be more interested in doing it. Look to Romans chapter 8, please, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. We were talking last week about, and the week before, about some of God's purposes, and it goes on in the next verse to say, whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. I'll tell you, there's a good verse to turn to when you start being tempted to be discouraged about yourself. When the devil starts attacking you with thoughts about, well, you're not much good, and you're not doing much good, and you're never going to be much good, and so forth and so on, you can just turn to this, Romans 8:29, and say, well, here's my destiny. My destiny is to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son, Jesus Christ. That's my destiny. I may not be there now. I may not be exactly like Jesus now, but that's the way I'm going to turn out. And even though things may not look that great and encouraging right now, I have a glorious future. And the future starts the next second. Hallelujah. So then you can just forget about the past and go on into the future. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But here he's saying that the Holy Spirit, well, it doesn't say that it has to be the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. No matter how strong you are, you have weaknesses. What is one weakness? One weakness that we have compared to God is we don't know everything. Do we? If you know everything, then tell me what's going on right through that wall. You may say, well, I know people are out there, this and that, but what are they saying exactly? Do you know whether they're plotting to come in here with machine guns and take care of you? You don't know, do you? Well, they're not, so forget it. But there are a lot of countries in the world today to where that type of thing might be happening, right? And there is no way in the natural that we as humans could know that, but the Holy Spirit does know it. He knows. Do you know that He knows what the Russian leaders are thinking about this very second? We don't have to be in the dark. We don't have to worry and spend our time being afraid. Oh, dear, I wonder what if Russia's about to send those atomic bombs over on us? Well, the Holy Spirit would know about it if they were planning it before they ever did it, wouldn't He? So we have, this is a weakness. It's a weakness compared to God. It's a weakness because we don't know everything. We don't know everything about our friends, neighbors, relatives, do we? We don't know everything about ourselves, really. We don't understand ourselves as well as God does. The Holy Spirit helps in our weaknesses. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought. He makes intercession for us, so forth. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Now, I know that this has been a tremendous source of comfort for a lot of people when bad things have happened to them. We know that all things work together for good. But that isn't really what the verse says. It says we know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. I believe that God is so wise and so powerful that He certainly can, anytime anyone looks to Him in faith, He can turn around a situation. He can take a lemon and make it into lemonade. He can make something good out of something bad. That's what I believe. I believe that God has that much wisdom and that much power, that much capability, that He can take something bad and make something good out of it. But I do not believe that God is purposely trying to promote bad things just so He can show off. He has that ability. And when anyone turns to Him in faith, whatever level of trust and faith that they have in God, He'll turn the situation around. And so a lot of people, because of that, they've seen it work in their lives or someone else's life. Something bad happened, but it turned out better in the end. And so they blame God. Not in a bad sense, but they just say, well, this was all in the plan of God. Well, I say to you that I don't agree with that. I don't believe that God is planning on purpose bad things just so He can show off how that He can turn bad into good. But He knows there's bad, and that's not the context this is in anyway. It's the context of the Holy Spirit helping us. And that's what I wanted you to see today. Let the Holy Spirit help you by prayer. Think about it. Think about how does God operate? How has God released power? And how has God released blessing? He's always done it through words, hasn't He? In the beginning, God wanted to do some things, and He said, let there be, let there be, let there be, and there it was. He spoke, and it happened. All the way through the Bible, through recorded history, we find the same pattern. We find anytime God does anything, what does He do? He speaks. He speaks it out. He releases His power through words, right? This is the way that things work. So wouldn't it be logical to say that since we are created in the image and likeness of God, since we are operating in the same universe, under the same laws, that the greatest help the Holy Spirit could give us would be in words. That would be a more help to us than if He gave us another 15 pounds of solid muscle, right? That'd be more help to us than if He gave us another $1 million. Now, I'm not against the $1 million, but history proves that, in fact, recent history, I saw in a newspaper or something that this person that won the lottery not too long ago, they won all this money, now they're bankrupt. Well, just because you come into a bunch of money, if you don't know how to manage it, don't have any wisdom, what's going to happen? You've got more money to get yourself in more trouble. You can be more in debt than you were before more easily. That's what can happen. And so just getting you some more money isn't the best help that could be for you. And speak in the right kind of words, because that's the way things work. That's the way it worked for God, and we're operating in the same sphere, in the same dimension, according to the same laws. God doesn't have one set of rules that He operates under and then another for us. I'm glad too about that, because that makes it good. He's not saying, thou shalt not kill, but King's X for me, I can kill any little baby I feel like if I get lonely. No, no. And it's the same way with faith. It's the opposite is true. God's not saying, well, I speak and release my faith and things come into existence. Things change because I say they're going to change. But King's X for all you people, you go by a different set of rules. No, it's the same both ways. It's the same both ways. We are operating under the same laws that God operates under. Both ways. The most help the Holy Spirit can give us is by giving us words. Praise God. In Acts 1:8, remember Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. After that the Holy Spirit is there. He's going to help you so much that you're going to be a witness of God's power, of God's love, of God's wisdom. You're going to shine in the situation where you're in. You're going to be like a light set on the hill. You're going to shine with the wisdom, with the peace, with the joy, with the power of God on your life. You're going to stand out like a healed thumb. Hallelujah. Why? Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. After He comes, He's going to help you. Help you, help you, help you, help you. That means for your good, for your benefit. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at a couple of passages. Should be familiar to most of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 4 is one. It says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. And it goes on to say, he who prophesies edifies the church. Well, that's great to edify the whole body, but you have to be edified yourself before you can expect to help anyone else. I've always said that a drowning man cannot save another drowning man. It takes someone that's strong themselves to be able to help someone that's weak. The Bible doesn't say, let us that are weak help the weak. It says, let us that are strong help the weak and help carry their burdens. Well, so if you speak in tongues, what does it say? It says, edify yourself. You will build yourself up, charge yourself up, just like charging up a battery, just like building up a house. How are you going to speak in tongues? How are you going to speak in languages you don't know? There's only one way. That's the way they did in the book of Acts. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. What I'm wanting you to see is that the best way, the most important way the Holy Spirit helps you is in giving you words. The right words to speak that are exactly on target, that will release that power into your circumstances, into your life situations, that things can be changed. Jude 20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude 20, right before the book of Revelation. Jude 20. I'll read it to you out of the New King James here. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying, speaking words, releasing words given by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 3:16. It says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You see, as Way translates this, he says, to be made strong with power infused by His Spirit into your utmost nature. May give you the power through His Spirit for your hidden self to grow strong. Berkeley says, empowered with strength in the inner self. How are you going to be strong? How are you going to be a strong person? How are you going to be a strong Christian? How are you going to be strong enough to be good out there on that job? How are you going to have the strength to have a good marriage? How are you going to have the strength to be a good parent? How are you going to have the strength to do any of these things successfully? Well, the Holy Spirit can mightily strengthen you on the inside. And how is strength released? Through words. Through words. Through speech. God made us that way. The system works that way. It's released through speech. And the Holy Spirit can help us by prayer. Not just in prayer. Not just helping us to know to pray for this one or that one. But by prayer. The point is, prayer helps you. It helps you. You're strengthened. You're built up. You're edified. And power is released in your life, into your circumstances, that will cause all things to work together for your good. That's the bottom line, is that if we will do this, take advantage of the Holy Spirit's help. Now, wouldn't it be stupid if you were down there in South America and you had the experienced guide with you? And you said, I don't believe we'll trust the compass here. I feel like we should go this way. Nah, I don't think this is what we ought to do. I think we ought to do something else. You'd be a fool. People are just as foolish when we say, I don't want to do it the Holy Spirit's way. I don't want Him to let Him help me. I'm going to do some other way. It's just as foolish, just as foolish. And that's what you expect out of children, isn't it? Isn't it? Out of any children? They just don't know better. You let them out in the yard and you check on them and you find they're out there eating dirt. Or a grasshopper. They don't know any better. That's why they need guidance. Need someone there to help them. I'm not trying to put you down, and I'm not calling you a baby, but I am saying that compared to God, all of us are in the beginning stages. We all have room to grow, to know more. And so we would be wise to trust in Him instead of just in ourselves. Let the Holy Spirit help you by prayer. The greatest thing, and I'm preaching this to myself as well as to you, but the greatest thing that you can do for yourself is to allow yourself the advantage of the Holy Spirit's superior help. And the greatest way that He's going to be able to help you is in giving you words to use, because that's the way power is released. That's the way things are changed, through words. Let me put it like this. If Pete and I here, he was my helper, and we had a job downtown. They had a building they wanted us to tear down. And so we went down there, and I took my little claw hammer and my screwdriver, and I'm down there trying to chip away the bricks and tear the building down. Well, Pete all the while has got this great big crane and wrecking ball on it. It'd be stupid for me not to take advantage of the most powerful thing, wouldn't it? It'd be stupid for me to say, come on, Pete, get over here and help me. Get this other hammer and get to work here. It'd just be a waste of time, wouldn't it? Well, that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. Why should we have the Holy Spirit getting a hammer when He can help us with those words where the power really is, more power than an atomic bomb? You see, we need to take advantage of the most powerful thing available, and that's the words. And that's where we ought to let the Holy Spirit help us the most, because it's going to do us the most good. And in that context, as the Holy Spirit helps in our weaknesses, then we can expect all things to work together for our good. Why? Because He's not weak. He knows what other people are planning. He knows what the economy is going to do. He knows what the company heads are planning to do. He knows all of that stuff. He knows it before the people think it, I guess, or at least as soon as they think it. He knows all of that. And by Him guiding you in your prayer, it's just going to be surrounding you in every circumstance of your life, in every situation that you're going to be involved in. It's going to be prayed about before you ever get there. You're going to be praying about things before they ever get to you. And if you do that according to the will of God, what's going to happen? You're going to have the answer. Well, if you got the answer, God's answers are for your benefit. And not only for your benefit, but for everyone's benefit, really. So if we let the Holy Spirit help us by prayer, it's going to be to our advantage. Now, some of the ways that it helps us, just beside releasing of the words of power that'll change things, is it helps us to be more sensitive to the things of the Spirit of God. The more we pray, the more in tune we are to the voice, the leading of God. And God, through giving you one bit of guidance, can do more for your life, for your finances, for anything, than you could working 10 years on your own. I'm not saying that He's going to work the same with every one of us in one way, that He's going to have us all go out and buy a piece of land or whatever, but there's so many stories. I'm thinking right now of an evangelist. God told him many years ago, many, many years ago, you'll see when I tell you the rest of the story, but God told him to go buy a certain piece of property. Do you know what that piece of property became? It became the first interchange on the interstate highway system. He just bought it when it was nothing. And not very long after that, he turned around and he just made a bunch of money on it. Well, that was God's way for him at that time. God may have a different way for you right now. But what I'm saying is that God is certainly capable of doing it, isn't He? He can give you one bit of guidance. And you know what I believe? I believe God has given all of us a lot more guidance than we've been receiving. I believe God has been giving us a lot of good information, but we haven't always picked it up. And one of the reasons, a main reason, is because we haven't been in prayer enough to where we're sensitive and really tuned into that channel to hear what the Holy Spirit would be saying to us. If you can't say amen, we'll just say, oh me, as Brother Higgins says. Let the Holy Spirit help you by prayer. Of course, He can help us in speaking words with our understanding in English or whatever language we understand. But I'm also glad that He helps us in other tongues. Hallelujah. And we can pray. We can pray in other tongues. We can pray about things, and we may not understand it all, but we know that God understands and He's answering, and the thing is being taken care of. Praise the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit help you by prayer. Well, Jesus said that He'd send someone to help us. The way God got things done was through words. The way that we're going to get things done more than any other way is through the words. And so the greatest help the Holy Spirit can give us is helping us in our words. And the greatest way there, I believe, is speaking in other tongues, because we can do that so much more and without having to think. I honestly believe that God loves people enough that he has made the gospel and his commandments attractive. I believe that he knows you can catch more people with honey than you can with vinegar. I believe that it's profitable for humanity to go God's way, not just when they die, but all the time. I believe it's profitable for humanity. I believe that. And although I don't believe God is just a big Santa Claus in the sky or some big sugar daddy, I believe that he is a God of love. And that God kind of love is the love that puts the other person first. He desires to help you. It's just his nature. It's not something we have to try to convince him to do. And I think we've approached a lot of these things wrong when we approached them from the negative standpoint. Now, I believe that you're intelligent enough that you're going to see these things and go the right way. I'd like to see a group of people like that. I'd like to see a group of people that doesn't have to be told they're going to hell if they don't come to every church service, but they still come because of the benefit, not because of some legalistic system that if they don't, they're going to be in trouble with God. I'd like to see people that pray not just because they're told, well, you should pray, and if you don't pray, well, half of Africa's going to hell. You should pray, and if you don't pray, well, we're going to get the communist in there in our government, and we're all going to go down the drain. I'd like to have a group of people that gives their tithes and offerings, not because they're preached to all the time, if you don't do it, God is, you're just not going to have the blessing of God, and so on and so forth, and God's going to get you for that. I'd like to have a group of people that will believe God and trust his word enough that they see, they know that God loves them, and when he gives instruction to them, they know it's for their benefit, and that they'll just go ahead, trust in God, act on the instructions of the word, and not have to be beat over the head all the time to do right, not have to be beat over the head to be made to pray, not have to feel guilty before they decide to pray. Now, I don't want just a group of, and God doesn't want just a group of selfish people that all we think about is ourselves, but it's pretty hard for us not to ever remember us, isn't it? We live with ourselves every day. And I believe that if we can see that prayer is as much for our benefit as it is anyone's else, that we're more likely to do it. Sure, it's helping others, but it's helping you too. And I don't know about you, but I need all the help I can get. And I believe the Holy Spirit is a great helper. And so I am determined that I'm going to let him help me more in this area. Let me share two things with you. The first is this, and most of you know this, but there's absolutely no connection between your feelings or emotions or place and being able to let the Holy Spirit help you by praying in other tongues. You don't have to wait till you feel some kind of feeling to pray in other tongues. Hallelujah. It's according to whenever you're ready, because the Holy Spirit's always ready. And when you're driving to work or cleaning the floor, any time is a good time. The other thing is this. In my own life or anyone I've ever talked to, I have never failed to know, find out, hear the same thing, that when a person spent more time speaking in other tongues, that things in their life improved. It's been that way in my life. It's been that way in everyone I've ever talked to. And sometimes it takes a while, maybe a few months, to see the differences. But that's just the way it works. And so, let me challenge you. as we go with the words of the title of this message, Let the Holy Spirit Help You by Prayer.